If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
I see there's a post on it right now. Worked by the U.S.
And he was never doing that. He was robbing us blind.
Now, if you're looking for a creepy but fun and light podcast that feels like hanging out with friends around the campfire and telling ghost stories, check out Believing the Bizarre podcast. Believing the Bizarre covers topics like cryptids, UFOs, hauntings, conspiracies, demonic possessions, and more. They accept and share listener-submitted stories and also have episodes that include interviews and bizarre news, where they talk about that month's strange and unusual news stories. They also do blind rankings, where they rank common topics in the paranormal world, like scariest cryptid, best comedy horror movie, and more. New episodes drop every Tuesday, and you can listen to them on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts. They also have full video podcast episodes up on YouTube. So after you're done with this episode, go check out Believing the Bizarre, and don't forget to let them know that MAU sent you.
Right now, during Truck Month, get 2 points.
I didn't even realize who she worked for, and I had to Google it.
Welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Welcome back, folks. It's great to have you with us, as always. Now tonight I have a whole slew of calls to share with you, so let's not waste any time in getting started. Kicking things off here this evening, and coming to us from parts unknown, please welcome Marie to the program.
Hey Derek, this is Maria calling in to tell you a story about my deceased grandfather. This is my mom's dad, and he died when my mom was 26 of Lou Gehrig's disease, or ALS. I never met him. My mother was completely devastated by the loss of her dad. They were very, very close. And as a result, it's kind of left her a little bit sad for the rest of her life, which I understand. But she used to have a photo of him that was about the size of a half dollar, and it was also cut in a circle, and she would keep it in her wallet. Always close to her, never left her side. Even when she got a new purse, new wallet, boom, that was the first thing that would go in there. So when I was about 10 years old, our entire family took a trip to Europe. Most of the time was spent in Italy to see family on my father's side. And we were in Rome, and we were walking down the street, me, my mom, my dad, and my four other siblings, and we hit a group of peddlers. I don't know what you'd call them, but they were pawing all over us, grabbing us and grabbing our clothes. And what I didn't understand at the time, until after we walked through this group of people, was that they were pickpocketing us. So we walked through them, and my dad pushed us through as quickly as we could, and they got my mom's wallet. They did not get her purse, but they got her wallet. And my mom was absolutely devastated. And she didn't care about the license. She didn't care about the money, the credit card. She's like, I can replace the credit cards, but I can't replace the photo of my dad. That was so special to me. And she was just beside herself for the rest of the trip. And when we got home, finally, it was a 6-week vacation. When we finally got home, jet-lagged and tired, my mom walked into her bedroom, and in her mirror, on her vanity, was the picture of her father. Same circular picture. It's the same one from her wallet. And my mom just, you know, gasped and pulled it out. And she started just absolutely sobbing. And I get emotional because I was standing there. She was absolutely sobbing. And she just said, "Thank you, Dad. Thank you so much." So I don't have any way to explain that because they stole the wallet. Apparently, I believe that my grandpa got it back to my mom. Somehow, I don't know how. I know that my mom did not take it out of her wallet. She wouldn't have taken it out, and she certainly wouldn't have put it in her vanity mirror. I know people stick pictures in their vanity mirrors and stuff. My mom just was not like that. She's very kind of formal and everything had picture frames, and she just wouldn't have done that. So I think that was my grandfather's way of saying, "I see you, and I love you, and here's a picture of me." So thanks. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you, Murray. Incredible. If what you're saying is true, that your mom didn't somehow leave the photo behind when she left for Europe, well then frankly, I have no other explanation other than your grandfather, Murray. How else could you explain that? I'm certainly at a loss for words, but not so much so that I can't thank you once again, Murray, for sharing that fascinating tale. And speaking of fascinating tales, I have one more before we have to take our first ad break. This quick entry from Eric out in the state of Connecticut.
Hi, Derek. It's Eric from Connecticut calling. It is September 10th, 2024. And this morning I saw a comet-like thing in the sky, but when I looked it up, it said nothing about comet until on the 27th. It was moving very fast and it was very massive. It's not the Starlink satellites, and I don't know, it was kind of weird. It was moving really fast, and yeah. Love the show, man, and thank you for all you're doing. All right, bye.
Thank you, Eric. And I'm glad that you called in. And I'm also glad that you emailed me the photo. It's up in our show notes, or check it out on our social media to take a look. But if you're rushing there in hopes of seeing a real, genuine UFO, I'm sorry to disappoint, but I know exactly what is pictured here. And it's the additional information that Eric provided that helped me get there. Living here in SoCal, I see sights like this all the time, and I instantly recognize them as rockets. SpaceX, typically, launched from Vandenberg Air Force Base, a little north of here. And the machines they toss up into the air up there, well, they look almost identical to what Eric described here tonight. A small, bright dot with a widening tail emanating from the back of it. It's a rocket, I'm afraid. Specifically, the Polaris Dawn rocket, launched at 5:23 a.m. Eastern Time from Kennedy's Space Center in Florida. Polaris Dawn was a private crewed mission launched on the very day of Eric's sighting, September 10th, 2024. 1 year ago today. And I actually did not plan that connection. And to be honest, I just now realized the fact. What a coincidence. Anyway, the rocket was up there for 5 days, and it conducted all sorts of studies on radiation and its effect on the human body. And it featured the very first ever commercial spacewalk. But I'm sorry to burst your bubble here, Eric, but I think the mystery is solved. But maybe you should go take a look at the photo, listeners, because I would love to be proven wrong here. Inexplainable or not, Eric, you weren't wrong to share the story and the photo with us. We love a good mystery around here. So thank you again for making the phone call.
For the Jibber Jabber. Action Monday podcast.
There's been a lot of chatter because I believe the Jibber Jabber.
Now, if you would, please join me in Mississippi. And please welcome Shelby to tonight's program.
Hi, Derek. My name is Shelby. I'm from Northeast Mississippi. Growing up, though, I lived in the Mississippi Delta, where it borders onto Arkansas, which is where this story takes place. This is my personal story. This happened in Helena, Arkansas, which is actually one of the many places where the Civil War took place. But anyway, this happened, I want to say I was 8 or 9. I was still having to have someone watch me during the summer. And the person babysitting me was probably about 15 years old. She was the daughter of a nurse that my mom worked with. And she was taking me back and forth to the different activities my mom had signed me up for that summer. And to set the scene, this was in like a double-wide trailer. So it was on a piece of land, just kind of out in the field, really. Not a lot of traffic. No neighbors that I remember either. But this was in the middle of the day, probably 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I was waiting for my mom to get off work around 4:30. So the way that you entered the trailer, you entered from the back and you would walk through the kitchen and then it was open. The kitchen opened up to a big living room, and to the left were bedrooms, and to the right was a master bedroom. The couches faced towards the bedroom hallway, and so did a TV. So, of course, this is where we were sitting. I was sitting to the left on the couch, and the babysitter was to the right in a recliner, and we were watching television. So we're, you know, angled towards the hallway, and all of a sudden, this manifestation of a man, I assume a man, in this black, dark cloak enters from the left wall and walks 4 or 5 steps into the next wall and just disappears. This is the best description is Calabar from Halloween Town. The cloak, the kind of weird face even, it was just a silhouette. Nothing like that had ever happened to me, and nothing that I know of was ever reported like that. But I would like to say that this was a deeply religious family that was babysitting me, and I feel like there was also 3 teenage girls in the time of puberty and adolescence, and, you know, that's a good time to play with Ouija boards. Now, that's just an assumption on my end. But I feel like when you're so strict in a household that things like that usually, you know, are ventured into. But yeah, she looked at me and I looked at her and she said, "Did you just see that?" And I said, "Yeah." Nothing ever came of it. But yeah, thanks so much. Keep up the good work. And yeah, I hope I hear this.
It sounds like you had a run-in with the infamous Shadow Man, Shelby. And thank you for sharing that experience with us. The Hat Man, the Shadow Man, Shadow People, whatever you want to call them, they're witnessed and reported regularly from all over the world. And many of those reports sound exactly like Shelby's here. So thank you again, one more time, Shelby, for sharing. Walking from wall to wall is certainly interesting. I'm not sure what to make of that part. Now, folks, if you have a story you would like to share here on the show, give our hotline a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or you can record your story as a voice memo on your phone and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to call from a quiet place. Don't call from a moving vehicle. One story per call, one call per story. If you need more time, however, just call back and pick up where you left off. and true stories only. No tomfoolery on this podcast. And get those hometown legend calls into me as quickly as possible. In the next couple of weeks, ideally. The clock is ticking. The end of season 19 will be upon us before we know it. And lastly, if your young one has a story they want to share, have them do so on our sister show, Monsters Among Us Jr. That phone number is 833-MAU-KIDS. And you can email us at monstersamongusjr@gmail.com. New episodes drop every other Wednesday. In fact, one just landed today. Now, from a man in black to a woman in white, please welcome Major out of Texas.
Hey, Derek. My name is Major. I live in a town called Anna, Texas. It's an hour north of Dallas. And one night, it was storming really bad. I was in my room. I had just moved into this house with my roommates. They were also my coworkers where I worked at. And I just moved in and I didn't have anything on the walls. So I ordered a tapestry and I got it in and I was hanging it up one night, right? I was by myself and I had my door open. Two of my roommates were at work and one of them was asleep in his room. So I was hanging on my tapestry and I had the thumbtack. I was putting it in the wall and I dropped it by my bed. So I reach down and I grab it. Right as I grab it, I sit up and I turn around. Just had this weird feeling. I turn around and I see in my doorway, there's this woman. She's about as tall as my doorway, so probably about 7 foot tall. She had a long white dress on and she had it looked like a veil over her face. It was either a veil over her face or I just couldn't see her facial features. It's one of those two. But it's like when I turned around with her, there was like a string attached to us. So she turned and walked out of my doorframe, and it threw me off because I was like, there's no one home. And I call out to my roommate. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? Are you trying to mess with me? I thought he had like a blanket over his head, you know, the whole ghost boo-hoo stuff. So I was like, hey, what are you doing out there? So I investigate. I walk out my room, always completely dark. And I look over to our other bedroom we had over there that no one was living at the time, and it was just empty, and it was completely dark in there. So I bailed back to my room. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, it looked like there was someone standing at my door. Like, it was right there. I couldn't have missed it. So I'm freaking out. I call my girlfriend. I'm like, oh my gosh, I swear I just saw a ghost. She's like, no, there's no way, you know. The house isn't that old. There's no way there's that. I'm like, no, I know what I saw. So right before I moved to that house, one of my other coworkers used to live there in the same room I lived in. And I called her. And she had mentioned one time she'd seen some stuff or whatever, and I just never knew exactly what she'd seen. So I called her. I said, hey, you said you've seen some stuff in this house. What have you seen? She says, okay, so one night I was sleeping in my bed, and I wake up in the middle of the night, and I had my door open. She said there was a woman standing in my doorway, about as tall as the doorway, in a long white dress. I was like, are you serious? That's exactly what I saw. She's like, it's okay. She's nice. I'm like, at the time, currently, I don't care if she's nice. That freaked me out. It was just the weirdest thing because she described it to a T what I had seen minutes prior. And I just couldn't believe it. So, yeah, that was scary. And the weirdest part is this is another story on topic. When I was a kid, I was a young baby. My parents told me this story. One night, my parents got in an argument. And my dad went and slept on the couch. My mom was sleeping in the bed. My mom had this weird dream that there was this woman in a white dress floating over her body. And the next morning, my mom wakes up. She's like, man, I had this weird dream last night. She's talking to my dad, and my dad was like, I had a weird dream too. She said, yeah, there was this woman in a white dress floating over our bed. And she was like, yeah, it was just the weirdest thing. And my dad was like, we need to get out of this house right now. So what do you mean? He's like, I had the exact same dream when I was sleeping on the couch. So yeah, not sure if those are connected, not sure if there's something attached to me, but my roommate prior saw it too. I don't know, man. But yeah, really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks, Major. Another classic apparition. The lady in white. A ghost typically reserved for lonesome highways or decrepit old widow's walks. not an everyday house in everyday Texas, like Major experienced. But just because it doesn't happen often, doesn't mean it doesn't happen at all. And apparently with Major here, it's happened more than once. So I double the thanks to you, Major, because we appreciate you taking the time to call.
Today and tomorrow.
Oh, that's not surprising.
Get a brush with the law.
These are information. What's wrong?
No, so unnecessary.
Now we're back, and we're diving right into the action. Please welcome Jay, out of the state of North Carolina.
Hey, Derek, and everyone else on Monsters Among Us. I am Jay from Rayford, North Carolina. This time I'm calling about something that's been happening over the course of the last 3 days. Sorry, it's just a little weird for me. This hasn't happened since I was a kid, and I just figured when I was a kid, it was just because I was cold a lot, and I'm hoping it's still the same thing. So, for the last 3 days, I've been going to stores, stuff like Walmart, Lowe's, and I thought I've been hearing someone calling my name over and over again. And I have a pretty unique name. I have several names, not including the letter J. I have several other names. One of them is very unique. So if someone's calling me by that name, then I know that they must know me. So I'm turning around in these doors and I'm thinking someone's calling me. And what's really happening is like I turn around and no one's there. And I just figure, okay, it was probably just my imagination. That was up until today when I was making a run at a store earlier. There's a lot of people. And I have my earbuds in, so I can't hear anyone around me. I'm on the phone with my sister, and she stopped talking for some reason, and I'm just trying to figure out why she stopped talking. And I redirect to her and say, hey, you know I was talking to you, right? Why did you go quiet? And she goes, oh, I'm sorry, I thought someone called you. I thought you were talking to someone. And I stop for a minute, and I just go, what do you mean? I thought I heard someone go, yo, and then say my name. And she thought I was talking to someone. And then I just informed her, no, I wasn't talking to anyone except for you. Because I didn't hear anyone talking to me. And when I looked around, I didn't see anyone that I knew. And that's when I realized, for the last 3 days, what I've been hearing was actually happening. Someone has been calling my name. And it actually happened earlier today, before this instance that I'm talking about, with my sister, only I heard it in my sister's voice, but in a whisper next to my ear. And I turned around and I thought it was my sister. I thought she had yelled from across the store because I was a good distance away from her. She was in the bakery section and I was in the frozen section about 40 yards off. So I figured that she yelled for my name. And I got really nervous and disturbed when she told me that she heard my name get called and I didn't. That's when I realized this wasn't in my head. This was actually happening. When I told her this, she just said, this kind of stuff is normal for my family at this point. Why don't you just get a cleansing? And it's just like, we have so many issues with hauntings and ghosts and creatures and UFOs that that's her first reaction. And that was normal for her to say. All I could think to say to her was, don't you find it weird that our family has to deal with this so often that you could say that with a straight face? And she goes, no. Anyways, thanks for having this platform. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jay. You know, I guess some people just aren't fazed. Or as I've come to realize over the years, sometimes those folks are so petrified of the activity that they pretend that it doesn't bother them. Putting up a strong front, so to speak. Now, of course, that's not to say that that's the situation here, Jay. Just a trend that I've noticed over the years. Because sometimes people are also just super brave and unaffected by stuff like this. So regardless of the situation here, this is awesome stuff, Jay. and we thank you again for sharing. Now, folks, if you haven't yet, please head on over to our merchandise shop. Poke around and see if there's anything there that you might like. MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the shop tab to take a look. It looks like all those pre-ordered hoodies are moving along nicely, and I will have an announcement about those coming up here soon. But in the meantime, again, visit MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the shop tab. Alright, this next story comes to us from Kathy, down there in Mississippi.
Hello, my name is Kathy. I am from Mississippi. This is a short one. I grew up at a church camp, and my dad was the manager for over 30 years, and we lived in the manager's residence. And I've had several spooky things that happened while we were living at the camp. But this one time that I'm talking about today is, I was probably a senior in high school, so it had been 1982, and I was sleeping one night, and I was dreaming, and I was dreaming about a birthday, and in the dream, we were counting, and I don't know what we were counting, but we were counting. So we were counting, I think we were probably up to 8, 9, somewhere around in there, and I woke up, and I was still counting out loud, and I was on 9, 9, 10, and I just kept counting, and I realized that what I was counting was my bed was shaking. It wasn't shaking fast. It was shaking kind of slow, but it was squeaking, and I was counting the squeaks in my bed, and my bed was slowly shaking. And when I realized what was happening, I stopped. I just said, "Stop it," real firm. And my bed stopped shaking, and I just kind of laid there for a little while, just thinking, I don't know, that was just weird. But anyway, I thought, you know, I can't really tell mom and dad or anybody about it, because nobody's going to believe me, and plus your bed's shaking, freaky enough, and I just didn't want to really scare any of my brothers and sisters. So I just kind of forgot about it and went on. So anyway, several months later, I moved out from home, and my sister moved into my room. And one time I came home or something, and my sister that had moved into my room said, "Hey, did you know that your bed shakes?" And I was like, "Yeah, you know, that it did it with me." And that was the only time I've ever had anybody say anything about my bed squeaking. But anyway, that is my story, and I'll call back with another one. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. I don't know what I would do if my bed started shaking like that. Probably the same thing that Kathy did. I'd yell at it. Hey, it seemed to work for her. And thank you again, Kathy, for sharing that fun little entry. Now, folks, you know who we haven't heard from in quite a while? Well, actually, I'll tell you after Danielle's story, because I wouldn't want to spoil anything.
Hi, my name is Danielle DeRose. I lived in Fairfax, Virginia at the time of my sighting. The house that I lived in backed up to a wooded area, and behind that wooded area there was train tracks. And I have outdoor cats, so they come in every so often. And on this night, it was around 10 o'clock at night, and it was about summertime, maybe fall. I'm not entirely sure. It was quite some time ago. I was about 15 years old when this happened. But I went out on my back porch to call my cat in, and it was 10 o'clock at night, like I said. So it was pretty dark out, and all I had was my back porch lighting, and we had a pretty tall fence. It was about a 6-foot tall fence, and over that fence I could see, like I said, the woods, but there was also a park, so there was a little bit of a clearing, and there was a house behind us as well. Well, in between my house and the house behind us, as well as the park, so it was kind of in between all three of us, I was calling for my cat, and I see this strange, very skinny, hairless humanoid creature. It was so emaciated that you could see kind of like its bone structure in its hands, as well as you could see its ribs. It was very shocking. I've always gotten an eerie feeling being back there at night. I never really went back there just because of that eerie feeling. There was just never really anything right being back there. But all I remember was me seeing it and screaming, and it stood up and I ran inside and got my father, and I started hysterically crying because it was just such a scary experience. And by the time we went back outside to see if it was still there, it was gone. I'm not entirely sure where it went, but that is my sighting. Like I said, it was in Fairfax, Virginia. Pretty city area. There's a lot of houses, so kind of shocking to see something like that. But kind of not shocking because it was in the woods and near the train tracks as well. So we got a lot of animals that came through there. But yeah, that's my story.
Thanks, Danielle. Now, believe it or not, this experience is not all that shocking to me, because the creatures we hadn't heard from in a while are the notorious pale crawlers. And if past reports on this monster are genuine, well then, places like Virginia are pale crawler hotspots. Now, the word on the street here is that these things live in the underground, in the eastern Midwest and the northwestern United States. Places with cave systems, mostly. And wouldn't you know, Northern Virginia is certainly one of those places. Now, one thing we'd like to do here on the program is find stories that help support our callers' claims. And we've done that here this evening. The following account was featured on Lon Strickler's Phantoms and Monsters website, and it took place only about an hour from where Danielle's experience did, in the Shenandoah National Park. Here is a truncated version of the events reported that day. I've been employed at a few different state parks around the country, but for the past 10 years I had been a park ranger at Shenandoah National Park, there in Virginia. In April of 2022, people started to hear noises around their campsite, very late at night. These noises would drive their dogs insane, but nobody had really seen anything unusual. Then one night, when I was walking back to my quarters, I started feeling a profound sense of dread. I scanned the area from left to right, from my fire pit to the table. About 20 feet behind the table, I saw a naked, extremely pale, almost gray figure. The thing had this humanoid quality to it, and it was very lanky and standing still. It stood between 5 and 6 feet tall, and the shoulders were low and slumped. The body was frail and thin, and it was crouched down on all fours. Now, I couldn't make out many of the details of the face beyond its large black eyes, but its mouth seemed to be open and making strange clicking sounds. I slowly pulled my phone out of my pocket and snapped a photo that seemed to startle it. I watched it jump onto a massive rock, then it climbed up the tree next to it. The speed it exhibited was astounding. I ran like my life depended on it, the rest of the way to my door. Now, before you ask, there is no photo. Apparently, it was too dark to actually make anything out in the image. But the other details were spot on, and this witness described the creature making a clicking sound with its open mouth. Something I can't help but wonder might be a demonstration of echolocation, just like a bat. Now, I really enjoy stories like this, Danielle, so thank you so much for sharing it. Though something tells me you didn't exactly enjoy the experience yourself. And after hearing what I just heard, well, I suppose I can't blame you. Thank you again for taking the time to call. Now, folks, I have to take another quick break, but when I return, I have a Civil War ghost to share with you. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Curious all around town.
September 19th and 20th at...
The ticket's still available, Andy.
Now next up, we venture to the cowboy state of Wyoming. Please welcome Pete to tonight's program.
Hey, how you doing? This is Pete. I'm in Wyoming. This story happened a long time ago, back in 1999. I used to be a Civil War reenactor, pretty active way back when I lived back in Florida. What has actually happened up near Gettysburg, not actually at Gettysburg, but around it. One night on a Saturday, after we had our mock battle and all the spectators had gone home, we were camped out. The reenactors had our tents, what they call company streets, and all our tents were in rows. We were all pretty much done, and I had to use the port-a-john, and ours were taken, so I had to go use the Union side because I was a Confederate. And what separated us from them was this big red barn. So I had passed one of our sentries, and he said, yeah, theirs is on the other side of the red barn. So he goes, okay, cool. So I had gone around the red barn and, you know, done my business, and I had exited the port-a-john. I noticed it was like a Confederate officer, and he was just waving to me like, come on, come on, come on. Wasn't saying anything, and I go, oh, wow. And first thing that I thought was maybe somebody was messing with my tent, my camp, or maybe something was really happening bad. So I kind of got my jacket, put it on over my shoulder. I kind of ran to him, but he had ducked around the barn. So I rushed around the barn, didn't see him, and I cleared around the barn and got to the sentry, and I go, hey, where'd that officer go? Where'd that guy go? And they go, what guy? And they go, didn't you see him? And he goes, hey, bud, you're the only guy that's come through here. And I looked around and didn't see him. And I kind of quickly got back to my tent, and nothing was wrong, and kind of gave me like a woogie feeling, like, woo. And every hair on the back of my neck stood up, and the hairs on my arms stood up. And to this day, you know, I've talked to people about it, and they're like, you know, we don't know what to think. From 99 on, I've run this scenario through my head, and I was thinking, you know, was it a ghost? Was it maybe a little time portal? You know, was this some offs from way back when? Did he step through a door unknowingly, like ushering me on like he needed help? You know, what if I had caught up to this guy? Would I step back in time and join in with the battle? Or, you know, what would have happened to me if I did? But, you know, this is just something I've pondered through the years. Was it a ghost? Was it a time portal? And would have I joined the ranks and been among the roster of the dead, you know? But think about it and let me know. Thanks a lot. Hope you guys have a good day. Bye.
Thank you, Pete. Well, I sure can't explain what you experienced there, but I think I can tell you why this might have happened. Many ghost hunters and investigators will use what they call a trigger object, an object from the time and place of a suspected ghost. In other words, if I were at the infamous Sally House there in Kansas, I'd probably bring an old-fashioned toy from the antique store. I'd lay it there on the floor and I'd let the ghost interact with it. Many in the paranormal field swear by this practice. And you know, Pete, given that you and your fellow reenactors were dressed to the nines, head to toe in authentic clothing, well, perhaps that acted as a trigger object to the spirit, bringing the activity to life. Activity that resulted in Pete's experience. And you know, as far-fetched as that might sound, that sort of thing has actually happened many times before. Famously, even. And it even happened to the production crew of the film Gettysburg nearly 35 years ago.
In the summer of 1992, Hollywood came to town to film the major motion picture Gettysburg. Whenever possible, the producers tried to stage scenes on the historic battleground in exactly the same places where the real action had taken place in 1863. They may have unintentionally disturbed the spirit world in the process. After each day of filming, local people provided a shuttle service back into town for the thousands of reenactors who were participating in the battle scenes.
One woman was offering the services of her pickup truck to take some reenactors into the town of Gettysburg. And she dropped off a truckload of reenactors at one of the local restaurants and turned around, and she began driving back home.
It seems she had shuttled more off the battlefield than a bunch of movie reenactors.
She suddenly started to hear a tapping in the back of the truck. She looked in the rearview mirror, and she saw something that completely frightened her. Two Civil War soldiers were sitting in the bed of the truck.
Now that clip pulled from the classic television program, Haunted History. So that's my guess here, Pete. And I provided an example of something similar happening to others in your position. But outside of that, we know that entire area is supernaturally charged. So an encounter like this really shouldn't surprise anybody. But surprised or not, we thank you again, Pete, for taking the time to share your call. And folks, we've come to our final entry of the evening, a monster story. Please welcome Tony to tonight's broadcast.
Hey, Derek, this is Tony. Currently live in Lincoln, Nebraska, originally from Texas. I'm 42 years old now. This happened back many years ago, right after I graduated from high school. So when I was 18, I moved to Washington State to live with my aunt and my cousins in Tacoma, Washington. And I had never been outside of Texas my whole life. So it was a whole new experience for me. Anyway, fast forward. So I lived in Washington, Tacoma from 1999 until 2001. And then I moved back to Texas and I moved to Austin. So this happened shortly before I moved back to Texas. I shared a room with my cousin Ben, who, by the way, is a skeptic. He never believed in anything. I've always been surrounded by the supernatural. He completely skeptical, never believed in any of that stuff. It was just the way he was raised. He just had no reason to ever believe in that. Anyway, so we shared a room. So one night, I'm sleeping in bed, right? And his bed was in front of the window of the bedroom. And my bed was parallel to his bed on the other side of the room. And he always slept with his head facing the window, and I always slept with my head facing the opposite of the window. So if I were looking at the window, like, I could see outside if the blinds were open. So I was sleeping one night, and I was suddenly awakened. And it was the weirdest feeling. It was like a panicked fear, like somebody jolted me awake. And I just sat up in bed, and I didn't know why. And I'm just sitting there in the quiet and hearing my cousin snore. And all of a sudden, I hear the word werewolf in my head. And I'm just sitting there in silence. And I'm like, what? Like, why am I hearing the word werewolf in my head? And then suddenly, I start to hear noise outside of the window, like something's walking outside. And I sit there and I'm listening to it. And I'm like, what the heck is that? And it sounds big. It's a big animal, whatever it is. So I jump out of bed. And I go and I try to wake my cousin up, and I just kind of like shake him, and he wakes up and he's like, dude, what the hell? And I'm like, shh, be quiet, listen. And he listens and he hears the movement outside, and what it sounds like is these really heavy footsteps. It sounded like it was on four legs. It was breathing heavy, like a hmm. So anyway, my cousin was like, dude, what the hell is that? And I look at him and I'm like, I don't know. I thought you would know. I'm not from here. I assumed it was a bear, but we lived in the middle of the city And I'm like, I've never seen a bear in the city. And what are the chances that the bears would come in the city? So I thought maybe he had an answer. He was just as terrified as I was. So anyway, we're standing there in the dark, and this thing, it's like it knew that we were in the room and that we were aware that it was there. It threw its weight against the siding of the room of the house, and you could hear that it was a large animal. Like, it just thumped against the house, and then it, like, scraped its body against the side of the wall. So we were terrified. My cousin says to me, he's like, look outside. And I don't know, it was weird. Like, something my subconscious said, do not look outside or you're going to regret it for the rest of your life. You're going to regret what you see, and it will forever be imprinted in your head. So I told him, I'm not looking outside. It was just so weird. The whole situation was just weird. Like, it seemed very unnatural. Like, a part of me wanted to believe that it was an animal, a natural animal, but a part of me was telling me that this was not normal. So I whisper to my cousin, I say, hey, let's go to the opposite side of the house where the back door is to the yard, because that door had a big glass window on it and the porch light was on. And I said, maybe if we go back there, we can look back there to see if we see anything. So we went ahead and did that. We go and we run over there to the other side of the house. We peek out the glass door window. We don't see anything in the backyard. And so I'm like, at this point, I still don't know what it is. So I'm trying to rationalize everything. And I tell my cousin, I was like, well, maybe something got in. Maybe you left the back gate door open. Because the fence in my aunt's yard was pretty tall. I'd say it was about 5 or 6 feet tall. So we finally went to bed, because when we went back to the room, we didn't hear it anymore. Whatever was there was gone. The next morning, we wake up, we go and check the gate, and the gate's closed. So didn't really think anything about it again. So fast forward, I'm living in Austin, and my friends and I go out to this nature preserve that's also a park. If you walk behind the park, there's like all these woods. I don't know how many miles of woods. So I went out there with a bunch of friends. We were going to drink. I had told them that I had been out there before. I had gone just kind of hiking through the woods, and I had found a spot where there was like a campfire area. So we all went out there. It was late at night. And we found the camp area, and we went out there, and everyone was drinking and having fun. And I'm just sitting there by the bonfire in the quiet, and I'm looking up at the wood line, and I see these big glowing orange eyes up in the tree line, probably about 7 feet high. And me being a city boy, I don't think anything of it, because I don't really know anything about animal eyeshine. And then suddenly the eyes would like blink, and then they'd move probably about 20 to 25 feet away from where I originally saw them. And the weird thing was, is they were always at the same height. So I'm like, well, if it's raccoons, there's no way that all the branches out in the woodline are the same height. But this thing, every time I saw it open its eyes, it was at the same height. It was about 7 feet tall. So I thought that was weird. But since I never saw any definitive characteristics, I just saw eyes, I didn't think anything of it. Eventually, they went away, right? So this whole experience that happened to me in Washington really stuck with me. I'd never had experiences with cryptids. I had always had experiences with the spiritual realm. I was more familiar with that. So it got me into looking into werewolves, because that was the only foundation I had given my experience and the word that I heard when I was awoken. Started looking into werewolves. Didn't really match. And in doing so, I came across the Dogman. My whole experience was very familiar to many other people's experiences. For instance, waking up suddenly in a state of fear. What I also believe now was telepathic communication. I think that the reason I heard the word werewolf in my head was this thing telepathically told me in a way that I would understand what it was. And then, of course, the amber orange eyes that I saw in Austin. So I just kind of started to add all the puzzle together, and it all started to make sense to me that maybe I had a dogman experience. And I'm really glad that I never looked out that window, because I'm sure that it would have stuck with me for the rest of my life, and it would have left me in a state of fear forever. Anyway, Derek, that's my story. Thank you for the podcast. I love it. I'm hooked. I listen to it all the time. Take care.
Well, I know it's easy for me to say, but I wish you would have looked out that window. I'm dying to know what was out there. But regardless, thank you, Tony, for sharing the entry. Now, to start off with, if you haven't heard of the creature Tony's referenced, where have you been? The Dogman has been one of the most popular cryptids out there for the better part of 3 decades now. Made famous by TV shows, podcasts, and even a pretty cheesy horror film on the subject. Historically, it's been reported in places like Wisconsin, Minnesota, Ohio, Kentucky, and that state up north. But lately, many more places have joined the long list of sighting locations, including both the Tacoma and Austin areas of the country. To prove it, the following was reported in 1997 or 98 in the Snohomish, Washington area, some 60 miles from Tacoma. I was with my mother and we had just finished dropping a friend off at her home in Sultan. We were on a stretch of road, it's very dark, with farmland on either side of the highway. At a break in the guardrail, I saw what looked like a huge dog coming up. Right then, it ran in front of our car and I hit it. We could see the top of its back, which we both swear looked more like a hyena at this point than a dog. Its fur was shaggy brown and mottled with dark spots, just like a hyena, and its front seemed to be higher up than its back. We got out to look at the front of my car, thinking surely there would be some evidence of hitting something that large. We were going highway speed when we hit it, which is something like 60 miles an hour. We figured we'd see a dent or some fur or blood, but there was nothing there. Now, I never saw it on 2 legs. It ran on all 4s. But there was something so calculated about the way it came up to the highway and looked at our car and ran in front of it. And then there's this eerie encounter from Fredericksburg, Texas, some 75 miles from Austin. On June 27, 2020, I was driving back to Austin, Texas. I had taken 290 East off I-10, and it was about 11 p.m. When coming up over a hill, I picked up a pair of yellow almond-shaped eyes off to the right. As we got closer, my headlights revealed a large creature, and what I thought at first was a wolf. It was on all 4s and in a crouched defensive posture, about 20 feet off the roadside. It had its head down and its front legs were bent, but it was still taller at the shoulders, 3 to 4 feet, than its rear. It had a triangular head with pointed ears and a short tail. It was broad across the shoulders with narrow hips and a long neck. Now, the coat on this creature was heavy and bushy, below the neck and on the front legs, then tapered off toward the rear with the short tail being bushy. It never took its eyes off us as we went past it, and it maintained the same posture, which I thought was unusual, because I expected it to turn and run back into the tree line. Now, both of those stories are courtesy of the North American Dogman Project, and the full reports can be found in our show notes. But you might have noticed there was an element missing from both of those experiences that seemed to be prevalent in Tony's. It would appear that on more than one occasion, whatever it was lurking outside Tony's window was doing its best to communicate with him. Telepathically, even. And when I heard that, I thought to myself, I know I've heard this detail before. So I went digging. And when you're researching Dogman, there's only one place you should go. Well, one lady you should go to. The late, great Linda Godfrey, in her series of books on the subject. If it's Dogman related, Linda knew about it. Now, I happen to have many of Linda's books here on hand in the studio, so I thumbed through them a bit, hoping to find some connections between Dogman and telepathy. And my hunch was right. I found a few mentions here and there, but nothing really worth sharing here on the program. Outside of this brief mention on her brilliantly titled book, Monsters Among Us, she lists a series of coincidences she found between 33 dogman encounters, case summaries, she called them, and she found that only 2 out of the 33 involved some sort of telepathy. Now, sadly, I did not have the time to track down those 2 stories, but they're now on my radar, and eventually, we will circle back to those. So coming up short on examples, I decided to take another approach, which is to explore whether or not telepathy between a human and, whatever the hell this is even possible. And for answers, I looked to a controversial scientist, a seasoned parapsychologist, and published author, Rupert Sheldrake. Now, Sheldrake has conducted several experiments and done extensive research on the psychic link between pets and their owners. Here he is talking about his work on the Commune podcast.
About 50% of dogs are going to the door or window when their owner's on the way home. And the people at home know when the absent person is coming because the dog tells them, basically. Obviously, this could be a routine thing, but in many families, it's not routine. People have non-routine lives, and the dog tells the people at home when they're coming. And it's not just hearing familiar car sounds. We did experiments with people coming in unfamiliar vehicles or on borrowed bicycles and things. Dogs still do it. So in our experience, we filmed the place the dog waited, had people come at random times by unfamiliar means of transport. And over again, the dogs waited when they were on the way home. You see it on the film, and this can be evaluated by a third party. So it provided clear evidence they were responding to the person's intention to come home.
Okay, so let's pretend now for just a moment that old Rupert here is right. And you know, based off some of the stuff I've seen with my pets and other people's animals, he just might be. But he claims that the ability here is genuine. And if that is true, that means it should be possible for whatever this thing was to communicate with Tony as well. And boy, did that creature make good use of it. Sending the signal of a werewolf and then telling young Tony not to look out the window. Full disclosure, I think I would have looked. But a huge thanks to you, Tony, for sharing this story. I love a good dogman tale. And you, sir, delivered. Now, folks, that's going to do it for this episode. At least for the most part. Now, stick around to the end to find out what "for the most part" actually means. But for now, Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Be sure to give us a like and follow on our social media accounts. Give us a like and follow on YouTube. Leave us a rate and review wherever that sort of thing is possible. And be sure to join our Discord server. Now, folks, don't forget that every Saturday evening at 10 p.m., you can catch the show on the UnX Digital Network. Just visit unxnetwork.com to tune in. And finally, this evening, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Now, folks, be sure to watch our film, Shadows in the Desert, High Strangeness in the Borrego Triangle. Go to borregotriangle.com to tune in. And it looks like we're going back to Plan B for you international viewers. A streaming party on Discord. As of right now, we're penciling in the date for the first week of October. Now, this viewing will be free to anyone around the world. And I'll be there answering questions as the movie runs. Some more info to come as we iron out the details. But a huge thank you to everyone for being so patient. It is incredibly difficult to get this film to you without violating contracts or copyright laws or restrictions. And I'm hoping that our little experiment will go off without a hitch.
And lastly, join us on the Beyond. Visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the Patreon tab. Or just stick around to the very end of this production. But for now, yins keep it spooky. And you have yourselves a good night. Now, tonight's secret story comes to us from Texas, and it comes to us anonymously.
Hey, so I'm anonymous from the west side of Dallas. This happened February 2nd, 2025. Me and my husband are outside. Our eyes are always in the sky, and it was about 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and I see like a little orb in the sky. And after I saw the orb, I saw this thing. It could have been an airplane, right? I was thinking it's an airplane or a helicopter because we kind of look like in a hood area, so there's helicopters all the time. But this aircraft, it was from the left side and the orb was at the proper right side. And this aircraft went slowly by this orb in the sky and it made a circle. And I was like, huh, that's weird. I guess they're looking for somebody. But there was no noise. There was no helicopter noise, no airplane noise, none of that. I'm like, that's kind of odd. And then I'm looking at it again, and there it goes again. It makes a circle around the orb. This time, when it made the circle, the orb disappeared. And I told my husband, huh, that's weird. And he goes, no, you're just seeing things. I go, no, I'm not just seeing things, right? And so the aircraft that made the circle went back to the left side. And I forget about it, you know, whatever. And so 10 minutes later, I look back up, and that aircraft thing, UFO, whatever, it was still at that same spot on the left side in the sky. And I told my husband, look, it's right there again, and it's still. It looks like it was hovering. So me and my husband are looking at this thing in the sky, and it wasn't a plane, because planes, you know, the wings have, you know, the colors on them and stuff like that. No. We started seeing lights appear. The lights were horizontal. And one by one, like if it was a window, like if someone's turning on a window, like in a home or something, it was like that. Each light turned on by itself. It was horizontal lights, it was turning on one by one. And then I'm like, oh my God, like we started freaking out. Like, look, you know, they're horizontal lights, you know, planes and stuff aren't like that. We saw about 5 or 6 in a line. And then I'm like, you know what, I'm going to talk to it. So I start to say, hey guys up there, if y'all can hear me, can you change color again? Because I always ask it to change the color. And sure enough, when I said, can you change to the color blue? The craft, all the lights, one by one, turned blue. I go, okay, thank you. Can you turn the color red? All the lights again, turn the color red. So I'm like, okay, they can hear me. Like, I'm communicating with whatever is in that craft, whatever, like, they can hear me. And so me and my husband, you know, we were bugging out and that's so cool. And, you know, we just call it a night because we were just staring at the thing. And then my husband went outside around 12 to go smoke a cigarette and it was gone. So yeah, I've been having UFO or whatever is in our universe or in our skies right now. It's been listening to me and my husband and we speak to it telepathically and they change colors, the color that we want. So I think it's pretty cool, but I kind of want to know what it is. So yeah, thanks for listening. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you, caller. You know, your experiences sort of remind me of a documentary I watched once. It was called The Man Who Sees UFOs, and it's about a sensational character named Christo Rapallo, who not only sees UFOs on a regular basis, but even films them and communicates with them. Now, I've linked to it in the show notes, and you can rent it for like $2 on Amazon. It's a wild ride, for sure. And if your situation is anything like his caller, well, then your story is just the tip of the iceberg. Many thanks, caller, for taking the time. And thank you again for closing us out here this evening. Because, folks, this is the point in the program where we venture beyond the after show we put on each and every Thursday. Except when we don't have power or the internet. But I told you that I would make up that absence here tonight, and I aim to do so. I have several calls lined up here this evening, and if you're not a Monster Squad member, you're going to miss them. So if you want access to this bonus content, all you have to do is support us on Patreon or Apple subscriptions. Just visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the Patreon tab, or search us out on either of those platforms. $5 a month will give you at least 4 after shows and at least 2 hours of bonus content every 30 days. And it's all ad-free. Also, you can test it all out for free using either platform's free 7-day trial. So you have absolutely nothing to lose. See what the fuss is all about. And hear calls like this one, also submitted anonymously. This time, from the state of Georgia.
Hey, Derek. I'd like to remain anonymous for this call. I'm calling from Georgia, and this happened a few months ago. I was sleeping in the middle of the night, and I have a sleep app going so that I can hear if I'm having trouble breathing, or I was trying to see if I had sleep apnea. And in the room behind me, against the wall where my headboard is at, my daughter and son-in-law sleep in that room. And so earlier in the evening, I heard them. They'd been making noise. They were playing some board games and kind of laughing and making noise. But I figured, whatever, just let them play. And then when I went to bed, it had kind of quieted down. And then I heard like a banging sound, like a knocking sound. And I thought, okay, they're like roughhousing or whatever. They're playing around again. So I knocked on my headboard like, hey, quiet down. The next day, I get up. I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing? It was so loud in there. And they both looked at me and kind of froze, and they were like, that wasn't you? And I said, well, I knocked to, like, quiet down. And they're like, but the knocking before that. And I said, no, that was you guys, right? And they're like, no, that was not us. And they said that it sounded like it was knocking, but it was coming from the window. And I'm like, well, that's weird, because we're on the